This is so stupid.
Oh my gosh. Okay, thank you, Lauren Hovcrass, for being on Tori's Stupid Podcast.
Thank you, Tori.
So honored to have fellow comedian, actress, content creator.
I'm an actress. Podcaster. I love that.
You are. You do it all. I mean, you do.
I'm gonna.
Yeah.
I was just in a meeting with some talent people and they were like, "You act, right?" And I was like, "Yeah."
Duh. Yeah,
sure.
No. I mean, you've had many clips go viral, 17 million views on some of them. They make me laugh so hard. You do a really great job of being hilarious but also shining a light of issues within the world of plus size.
Oh my God, you get it. Yeah. That's what I'm trying to do. Yes. A lot of people don't understand. They're like, "Oh, that's so funny." And I'm like, "No,
this is real."
I'm like doing social change.
Yes.
You don't understand.
Which is why I love comedy in general, where it's like, I always want my jokes to have a message at the end of the day, because we're all screaming into a microphone, but really like screaming for help in the best way possible.
Yes.
So we're all just trying to like make a positive change and do something good. But I do think you find a really good line of being like, this is crazy that these are our options. And some of them are amazing options, but the general field often you're just left with like, what is this chain going across my shirt? And
it's so bad.
Yes.
And it's getting worse. I'm talking to a journalist tomorrow.
Okay, where?
About plus, it's called the Every Girl.
Okay.
Did I get that right? Called Every Girl. I don't know. They have like a lot of followers. I don't know.
Okay.
But
is it all plus size?
No, it's like a betches, but not betches.
Okay. We speak up. Just kidding.
We can. but yeah, they wanted to talk to me because they were like, plus size fashion has gotten worse, and now you're like the spokesperson for that.
Well, it's funny. I feel like they came onto the scene with like, do you know Remy Bader?
Yeah.
So I feel like she started it with shining a light of like, here's this weird Free People model bending in half, and here's what it looks like.
She was ordering really ugly stuff. Let's be clear.
She was definitely leaning.
But it was hilarious. Like I was like, I see a little right through this, and I respect it
totally.
And I'm like jamming with it.
I am too. But it's interesting to watch her journey because she's lost all this weight now,
right?
And you can't help but be like, well, you started and you got this following because of how you were able to own your body,
right?
And make these points, and now you're conforming to what we all think we're supposed to do.
Yeah.
So
still champions plus size people, I've noticed. Because I did get a little, like, I got a little side eye where I was like, okay, what's happening
what
here?
What side are you on?
What side are you
on? Yeah.
Because anytime somebody has, like, a rapid, like, before and after weight loss thing, I do kind of wonder, like, okay, are they, like, trying to tell everybody to do this? Or is this just their own journey? And I think for everybody, but especially for Remy, I think it's like her own journey,
right?
You know, and you know, it can still be triggering for a lot of people, but I've seen her in the comments on some things where she's still very much championing plus size people and, you know, accepting themselves. So I do appreciate that.
Yeah.
And she's lucky. Sorry, not to interrupt you, but she's lucky because it's like, yeah, she built her following by being like, I'm plus size and nothing looks good. And it's like, now she's skinny, but it's like, we live in a fatphobic culture. So honestly, win-win, Remy.
It is. Yeah. And you can't help but be like, you look good.
She's fine.
Yeah. What's interesting that I keep seeing online, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but lately I'm friends with a comedian, Ian Lara, and him and I had a conversation recently where he was talking about how thirst traps, he'll post one. He's got 200,000 followers on his Instagram, and he'll post like a show flyer.
Yeah.
And it'll get 1,000 views on his story. And then he'll post like a gym selfie, and it'll get like 15,000
views. Oh, I know him. Black guy?
Yeah.
Stand up? Yeah.
Dominican, yeah. But yeah, with him, we just had the conversation of he's just like, people online just want to see you look good. And it's so interesting when you're rewarded with that with numbers. And I have a friend that recently lost a lot of weight, and she posted a selfie in a bikini, and it got thousands of likes. And then you scroll one more and it's like a podcast reel and it's got 20 likes and you're like, what is this world?
Well, Instagram knows when you're trying to promote something, I will say, because I'll get the same thing. I'll be like I'll post a try on and only get so many likes and views, and then I'll be like, listen to my podcast, and the algorithm's like,
fuck you.
We're here for the try-ons.
Right?
You know?
It's so interesting how the internet chooses what they want from you.
They can smell if you want something from them, and they won't give it to you. But yes, that's not what we're talking about. Right. You're bringing up a very good point, how the internet does praise these, like, skinny transformations.
Yes.
And it's hard not to notice, because, like, you just if you have eyes, you can see the likes, yes. you can see the comments. Like,
people get, I get excited. If I see someone that looks good that I like, was like, I know they've been working on this, and you're like excited for them, but you're like,
yeah.
if they look, if I saw, it's like so interesting how it's the numbers and the way you feel add up to this actual real thing that's
yeah.
in front of us.
And the comments just like,
so high,
look they're good. Discouraging because yeah. it's like, I'm someone who does fangirl over Remy Bader, but I can't go in her comments.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm happy for her and her journey and what she's doing, she, you know. I think she's great, mm-hmm. but I cannot go in those comments because everybody's like, wow, good for you, girl. Mm-hmm. You look so much better. And I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah.
I'm like, she looked great before. Like, shut up.
Yeah.
No. It's just everywhere.
It really is. And it's hard to look away. And I'm also like, I was just looking at this girl on TikTok who's, she's like known for being like a porn star.
Porn star, yeah.
And she was talking about...
We love a sex worker.
Yeah, we do. And she's beautiful and she's funny. And it's just interesting because she was talking about how, like, she grew up with these influencers that she knows weren't real. And then she couldn't help but then fall into that category of, like, okay, well, I want the nose job. I want the boob job. And she did it all. And she's like, but I want to be real with my followers where it's like, yes, I did these things and this isn't natural, but I wanted to feel this way and look yeah. this way, which was very interesting.
I think that's important because yeah. a lot of people online, they'll, you know, they're getting a lot of work done mm-hmm. and they're selling skincare products. And it's like,
yeah,
the skincare products didn't make your face look like that.
Yes.
It was the plastic surgery, which is fine.
Yeah.
But let's not call one thing another thing.
No.
And, you know, steal people's... I don't like people taking advantage of women's insecurities mm-hmm. and profiting off of it. Like, it's my whole thing. It pisses me the fuck off.
And that's what's crazy, that that's our entire beauty industry.
Yeah.
And I watched a TikTok this morning, actually, where it was a girl that was saying that we should never have ever been able to look at ourselves as much as we do.
I saw that same one. Yeah. Yes.
Wasn't it good? What was it called?
You're only supposed to, like, see a blurry reflection of, like, yourself in the water.
Yeah. And that video was very interesting to me because, yeah, we're not supposed to look at ourselves and compare what we look like to others. And the end of the TikTok was that we are an experience, which I thought was so beautiful because yeah. you never get that from an image or a video online.
And I do think there's beauty in so many different types of people and features. And I've also been seeing online, it's like, remember in the 90s when all the actresses, they look different
mm-hmm.
and they were so, like, striking features and yeah. like a big nose, a little nose, like bulging eyes, but it's like they're all still beautiful.
Yes.
But it's like now everybody has the same, like,
little slope nose, big, like, lips.
Yeah, like Khloe Kardashian face.
Literally.
Like everyone has the same face and it's creepy.
They became like our models of what we're supposed to look like with the tiny waists. It's so interesting and it's so hard to
sit here eating McDonald's. I hope your podcast isn't that popular because I'm gonna get fucking roasted.
No.
Being a fat girl talking about beauty
I'm just eating McDonald's. Well, people who are listening, the listening is a little bit better than the YouTube, but we get like 300 views. So okay. 300 people will see.
Great.
But it's great. I think.
No, I want it to be popular. I'm going to share it out.
Thank you.
And listen, food is not.
Food is fuel. I'm going to join you. Except one time I ate.
Food is more than fuel.
Well, yeah, sorry. I didn't mean to say that, but like food is. Actually, it's my whole life.
It's morally neutral. Sometimes you need a McDonald's french fry.
You always need a McDonald's french fry.
Every day.
Every day. A kid's meals, I grew up on those.
Mm-hmm.
The little boxes that came with a little toy. That was my world.
Remember when McDonald's used to be like fun and exciting and now it's just like so bland and
I feel like there's a stigma with
it. It's like a bus stop.
Like if I'm hungover and I get it, I'm like, oh, I'm really twisting the knife on like being a piece of shit.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes I want to like stop by and just have a little, like I got into McFlurries for a while.
Oh yeah.
Which was a phase. Because I make those little snack ones.
Yeah.
And you're like, how could I not have a little snacky?
It hits a spot.
It really does.
You know what else I've been getting into lately? And I want to talk, and I want to talk about this my podcast, Belly Laughs. Listen to Belly Laughs. I'm like hyper fixated on the hard tacos from Taco Bell.
Mm.
I don't know why, but just like the crunch.
Yeah, yeah.
Of a hard Taco Bell seasoned beef taco with like the fresh lettuce and fresh cheese.
I love the lettuce.
It just hits the spot and I've been eating it like for lunch at least once a week. Just every week. I'm like, oh, I need my tacos.
I had a phase in high school. Every day after school, I got two soft tacos and a Baja Blast.
Yum.
And that's a phase. You got to lean in.
Yeah.
I didn't. Yeah.
No crunch for you?
I'm personally a soft taco myself. Okay. But,
We can still hang.
We could. How many? Like, I just think, I feel like it's like the perfect, like, two after school was like my little snack.
Yeah.
And I could like go off into the world again.
Yeah.
I needed an after school snack.
Teenagers need a lot of food. People don't realize.
I really ate.
Also, fun fact, fat people need a lot of food too. People forget. They're like, oh, you're eating so much. And it's like, yeah. I, like, even if I was on a weight loss journey, I would have to eat so many calories.
Right. Your body burns weight.
Like,
more.
It needs more calories. So that's just something I think about sometimes. If I'm eating with friends and we're all eating the same, I'm like, should I be eating more?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Because your body burns more, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And also lean in. Eat as much as you want. Who cares?
I'm going to start doing this. Every podcast I come on, I'm just going to bring McDonald's. Actually, no. I'm going to be famous soon, and McDonald's needs to pay me.
I love this fame journey. So what's next for Lauren Hope Crass?
Well, Lauren Hope Crass is a star.
She is a star. She's getting in the rocket ship, and I want to know where you're going.
Well, I'm trying to lean into it because I don't want to be – I used to be afraid of the resource of fame, you know, and now I'm just like – I've been listening to this podcast. It's like – it seems cringe to talk about, but it's actually a really good podcast.
Everything's cringe. You got to lean in.
But it's – Emma Willman told me about it.
I love Emma.
Yeah.
Shout out Emma Willman. I love you so much.
I love you too.
You're the best.
In a green room at New York Comedy Club – I need to put these down.
I kind of like it for the emphasizing. I'm like
smoking a french fry. She was like, you need to listen to this podcast. It's called How to Be Famous. Mm-hmm. And
the whole podcast?
The podcast is called How to Be Famous. Uh-huh. The host is, her name's Whitney Euland. And what's so funny is when you go to search for it, you're like, how to be, it'll autofill like a better person. And I'm like, no. How to be famous.
I don't care about being a better person. I'll be real.
But she like reframes it in a way where she's like, you don't need to feel embarrassed if you want to be famous. She goes, fame is just the resource of having people's attention. Mm-hmm. And she's like, my mission is to help more good-hearted people have the resource of fame so they can make good change in the world.
I love that.
And once I realized that the more me of like a fat hottie succeeds, the more I'm able to help my communities.
I love that.
And so now
I selfless acts.
Right. Mm-hmm. So I'm selflessly.
Yeah, selflessly becoming famous.
Spit out a French fry.
You're excited. Yeah. We're excited.
But do you know what I mean? Like, I'm not afraid to try to be famous now because I'm like, oh, this is going to help people.
Yeah.
If they see like a happy, fat, successful, rich.
Yeah.
I'm not rich yet, but it's going to happen.
It's going to happen.
This is going to be an embarrassing episode.
No, it's not. I can't wait to share this again in a year when you're so famous. And I'm like, she was on my couch.
Eating McDonald's.
Well, it's funny. Your mission reminds me. I used to watch a show religiously. It was My Fit Fab Life with Amy or with...
Fit Fat Life?
My Fat Fabulous Life. Whitney Way.
Yeah, I follow her on Instagram.
Yeah. Did you ever watch the show?
I didn't.
So she, it was exactly.
I think I was scared to watch it.
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah.
I ate it up. I think I've watched every episode and there's like 10 seasons.
Is it good?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I started watching in college. So then I just kind of like I just was grandfathered into care because I like got to know her mom and her dad and her brother. Like it was a whole thing. But she had that same mission. Her whole point was like, we can be fit and fab and fat and live a normal life and not want to lose weight.
Absolutely.
And I really got on board with her and her like overall mission.
I love that. Okay. I'm going to watch her show.
You should, again, it's kind of, it's your, again, everyone's on their own journey. And I think you have your platform, especially with fashion. She definitely was more, she had like a whole workout class and was very into like fitness. Yeah. But I think that's important because
I have my wellness lane, but I'm also very much like, yeah, look at me with my orange soda and my fries. Like, you don't, fat people don't owe you health. Fat people don't have to prove that we can be healthy too. Like, it was kind of this pitfall I got into on the Betches podcast I had because we had so many haters. And I was like, don't look at Reddit.
I love Reddit.
Just don't go there.
Okay, we'll look at Reddit.
But I would get so defensive because everybody was like, she's just jealous because she's fat and she's, you know, she just wants to say that. And I was just like, I was on the show being like, no, I'm healthy. But it's like, I shouldn't have to explain that I'm.
Yeah.
You should just like let me talk and exist without trying to psychoanalyze me and like tear me down.
And I always thought your takes were very neutral. Like, yes, you have your stance on.
You would think.
I
did too.
No, I really believe that. I've listened to you speak for maybe 20 hours of my life. And I'd like to say that you never made it about a certain thing. And also you and Emily played off each other really well because she had her experiences with her being overweight when she was younger.
Yeah.
And she would always say, oh, well, I understand. And you were always very keen on being like, that's your journey. This is my journey. And you guys kind of met in the middle of how, you know, her experience is yours and then people in general. And you never like... she and you guys were really good about being like, you can feel that way and I can feel this way.
Yeah.
But it never got like, you didn't die on a hill ever of like, this is how it should be.
Right.
You're like, this is my opinion.
I thought we were a really good team.
You were an incredible team.
Yeah.
Yeah. I miss listening to you guys. I have to listen to your episode on Belly Laughs.
We do each other's podcasts all the time now. Like,
you're kind of making it like a pseudo Good Bodies.
Oh, yeah. I told her it's like RAP Diets, that's her podcast, and Belly Laughs are like sister shows.
Yeah, yeah.
And like,
it's like a Venn diagram.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
So I'll call her and I'll be like, hey, I have this life update, but can I record it while I tell
yeah.
you? Like, can I put it on the podcast? Well,
and you are very topical with your topics, like the nicotine point.
Oh, yeah.
Zins are coming back. Elf, like, it's like, as much as we...
That was all Emily.
Oh.
I didn't even know what those were.
Well, and then also the alcohol episode. Yeah. I feel like we're always all talking about these things, and I think you're able to stay very, like, what do people actually want to listen to? Because yeah. I could talk about drinking for a day straight. 24 hours straight.
It's people are still very confused. Like,
we're all confused.
I was at a party recently, and I asked the host if they had anything non-alcoholic. Mm. And then the person next to me was like, I'm sober too. And I was like, I just want to sleep tonight.
I just want my heart rate to be okay.
I'm so happy that you're sober. Yeah. But like,
totally.
My body is so loud.
Yeah.
That now I drink way less.
Totally.
Especially as like, because I'm like a full ass millennial. I'm 36.
Mm-hmm.
And once you hit 35, everybody said this my whole life. And I was like, that's stupid. No, it's real. When you hit 35, you just like feel everything so yeah. much more, and it makes you healthier because it's like,
right,
because
you literally can't. Like, yeah. I'm 32, and if I drink more than 2 to 3 drinks, I can't work.
Yeah,
like sending an email, I'm like the, and then I read it like 8 times, and
the
I'm like
cat in the hat.
Literally, like adding attachment is like I might as well be like running a marathon. I'm like, I'm sorry, this is the hardest thing I've ever done.
So funny.
No, really.
Well, just wait till you're 30.
I'm scared.
No, we're the same age. It's fine.
Essentially,
that's what I keep saying. Somebody at a crowd recently. I forget what I said. I was like, I'm Gen Z too, and this girl, she was like, yes, and I was like, bitch, I'm 36. I don't know why I'm repeating a joke that was only funny
Let it
in the
go.
Moment.
No, good.
But they were so into it, and I was like, you idiots. But anyways, it's
fine. Have you heard of the Zillennial term?
Yes.
Yeah, I learned that from an audience member.
Zillennial recently. Is like 29-year-olds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, can we stop with these naming conventions? Like, let's just call it what we are. Yeah. I'm done.
We're all dying.
We're all dying.
We're all gonna die. In
we're all 10 barreling years or towards. I honestly keep bringing this subject up, which I get like oddly like high on it because I'm like, yeah. Like, let's just, like, burn it down.
It makes me want to just, like, spend what little I have in savings. I'm
right?
Like, we are going to die soon. Like, I want to go to Italy again.
Right? And it's so funny. I was listening to the clip that you put out with Emily where you're talking about how there's been this pendulum swing from, like, wellness to, like, burn it down.
Yeah.
And it's funny. That was a very fair point where she made the point of saying, you know, if I'm going to be here, I want to feel good.
Yeah.
But I also heard a quote once during mid-sobriety, like I was sober for a year,
yeah.
and I watched this podcast, and the guy said, I don't want to be the healthiest person in the graveyard. And I was like, oh my God, that's such a good point where it's like, yeah, you could do everything right, but like you're going to die one day.
Yeah.
And that point was, I was like, well, then I'm drinking again.
I like that. It's kind of like the concept like, oh, I'm going to have the skinniest corpse.
Right?
And it's like nobody.
It's like no one gives a shit.
That's what makes me so sad when like older women are dieting.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
You're gonna die soon. Like, just please eat the pork chop.
Enjoy. Yeah. I really think it's about also just enjoying who you're around.
Yeah.
And it's funny, actually.
Yeah, health is so much more than like so what we're eating. More.
Also, if you really focus on your appearance, the people that you're around aren't gonna be as fun to be around.
What do you mean?
Like, if you're around a bunch of people that have just they're more focused on what they look like than
yeah.
what they're doing.
They're not interesting.
No.
Yeah, it's kind of the same thing with comedy. It's like, if you're a comedian who just spends all day going to open mics, you're not funny.
Yeah. Because
you have nothing to talk about. You just spend
right.
a whole day.
Live a life.
Like, go live a life and then be interesting.
Totally.
You know?
Yeah. And I also Googled the divorce rates on hot people, and it's higher, which is so funny to me.
How do you quantify that?
I don't know. I think. Okay, don't poke holes in the research, Lauren.
Like, would I qualify as hot?
Yes. That's what's interesting. I was like, because people will marry for looks, and then they're like, ew, I don't even like this person.
Yeah.
So
I feel bad sometimes for those people.
Right?
Because they just, I don't know, not to like play a tiny violin for like skinny hotties, but
rip
like
the violin.
Sometimes I'm grateful for my size because it forced me to get to know myself.
Totally
holding these fries again.
No, do it. I like the holding of the fries. It adds to the point.
Mangione. Yeah, because it's like, I don't know if I would have developed a personality if nobody made me.
Totally. Are you dating?
I am.
Oh yeah? Is there a certain suitor?
Or is it? We've been on one date. I don't know why I'm acting so weird.
No, it's great. A date counts as feelings and a person.
I did go on a date recently.
How'd you find him?
He found me.
Oh, I love that. That's all about being, again, I hate this, but like they say, like a man should go after you.
Yeah.
Which is annoying.
No, I want to be pursued.
Yeah.
So he saw me at a show, and typically it's like kind of a red flag when like a fan or whatever wants to go out with you. But he was really sweet in how he reached out, and then I was like, well, I don't know you, so send me the following information in video format.
Stop.
And
I'm obsessed.
He sent me a 9-minute video.
What was he doing? Is he a podcaster? Okay, I'm so impressed.
The whole story a is man on talks Belly for Laughs.
Okay. Listen to Belly Laughs.
It's the VIP episode for March, so I don't want to spill all the tea on Patreon. Yeah. You got to join the full tier for that one.
I was going to say, I pay the $2.
Because I recorded it on the $2, and then I was like, no, this is bonus
content. This is good? Okay.
This is bonus content.
Okay, teaser, guys. Go listen to Belly Laughs.
But yeah.
It sounds like a good story.
It's a great story, and we have other dates planned.
Fun.
And I like him.
I mean, if he took 9 minutes to make you a monologue.
It's adorable. A monologue? It's so adorable.
Like, I can't even talk for 9 minutes straight alone. That's why I have guests.
When we get off of this, I can show you like
I would love to see that. I'm so excited.
But yeah, I'm starting to date more. I had to sort of confront my internalized rage towards men, because before I thought it was like a joke, like, LOL, I hate men. Yeah. But it's like, oh, I hated men. And so working in therapy with a male therapist has helped me.
A male therapist? I cannot imagine.
Yeah, me.
I'm so shocked. You're like, I hate men. Tell me why. You dirty whore man. You asshole loser.
No, he helps me a lot. I love
him. I'm impressed. My sister had a male therapist, and I don't think I could ever, I don't know.
I also used to have a male gyno. I loved that.
Stop it.
Yeah.
I'd rather not.
Do you want to know why male gynos are great?
Why? Please tell me.
Because they don't have, assigned male at birth, whatever, gynos are the best, because they don't have vaginas. And so they're very careful. Because they don't know what it feels like. But a lot of assigned female at birth gynos, they're like, this is fine. And they just like crack you open.
Yeah.
Because they're like, I can take it. She can take it. But a male gyno is like.
Really? A male gyno's had sex before, though. And I'm sure he hasn't been dainty.
Of course he has.
Not to make it sexual. But I'm sure he's probably like, take this.
Oh, God. I hope. Sorry. Well, listen. Sorry. I hope.
I didn't mean to make that
sexual. The male gynos aren't having sex.
Imagine if they have
sex
like that. Like, does this feel okay?
I bet you the male gynos are having very careful sex based on.
But yeah.
Also, the vagina doesn't have to be sexual, Tori.
You're right. Sorry.
Okay. What are you, five?
You're right. I'm so sorry.
Also, male gynos have to have a female nurse in the room at all times.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So when I had a male gyno, there was always just like a woman in scrubs in the corner like, are you good?
Do you feel okay?
Yeah.
I just think it's interesting. Who's the man that wants to get into that field? That's what I'm curious about.
Yeah. Someone who wants to help women? Because it's not just pap smears. They're doing like abortions.
And, yeah.
You know.
You're right. Okay. How long have you had this male gyno for?
Well, now I have a girl.
Okay. You talk a big game. I saw him once because the girl was busy.
No, I had a male in South Carolina when I was there.
When did you move to New York?
In 2014.
Okay.
Which is 11.
That's amazing.
Oh my God, it's March.
Yeah. Is it your anniversary?
It's my anniversary.
When did you move here?
I moved here. Oh no, it's my anniversary for comedy.
Oh.
I moved here July 22nd, 2014. Okay. So I'm approaching 11 years.
Okay.
In New York.
I moved here July 2016.
Oh.
Yeah, so it'll be
2 years after me.
Yeah, so it'll be my 10-year next year, which I'm going to celebrate by getting a tattoo.
What are you going to get?
Just New York. Very, you know,
the
basic.
Statue of Liberty?
Nah, just the word New York.
I like that.
Thank you.
I love New York.
I love it.
I want to get more New York stuff. Like, I wish it wasn't cringe to wear the I Love New York shirt, because I love New York.
You could wear it.
Yeah, I could pull it off.
I'll show you my room. I have a New York poster over my bed, and I have, like, January, I'm like, I hate it here. Like, my Con Ed bill was $300 this year. So I was like, I'm leaving. I can't afford it here. I'm being driven out. And then here I am. It's like, I got the window open. I'm like, I love it here.
You were like, the heat's broken. I have to leave town.
I was like, I literally did.
This is like a really nice apartment in a nice part of town.
I
know.
Lauren and I were going to record a sketch, and it since got 2.8 million views. And I'm like, I hate my life. It was such a funny sketch, but
all because your AC.
Because my fucking AC. It was my fault. I had my AC units in still, so the windows were kind of cracked, and it was like 2 degrees outside. And my heat is just like these shitty baseboards. Yeah. So, you know when you look in the mirror and you're like, I'm the problem.
Yeah, every day.
I was the problem.
You're not the problem. You're thank perfect.
Thank you. Like, I took the AC units out, so.
Proud of you.
Thank you. My bill
your
is
super so, should like take those for you.
I pushed it out the window. It's like
you pushed it out the window.
So this is cute, like Russian dad and his son came to help, and I just said just shove it out. So, and now I have to look at it every day. I'll show you. It looks really bad. I look like I live in poverty, but I pay an arm and a leg to be here.
You pushed it out the window.
I just wanted to be chill, you know? I was like, just shove it out.
What are you going to do for AC next summer?
I'm going to have to buy a new one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Next time, I'll help you.
Thank you.
Put it in storage or
thank you so something. Much. Yeah. I got to be better. Adulting thing is hard.
I think you are the problem.
I am the problem.
But I say that because that's something I would do. I would, I was like, I'm so done with, I would push an AC unit
just
out.
Push.
Yeah.
And they were so cute together. And I was like, what are you going to do? Drag it down the stairs, put it on the street?
Yeah.
Because I can only store one, you know, the place is small. I was like, I'm not going to get a storage unit.
Yeah, and if you're getting a new one anyways, pop it out. That's how I take my trash out.
I might
out,
just hide it behind this wall and it'll live there for the next like a million years.
Yeah. Some raccoons can make a little, a little home in
a little rat nest.
I was going to tell you something I forgot.
Is it New York related?
Yeah.
Do you want to live here forever?
Yeah.
It's my goal. It's like my goal.
I think my goal is not to be bi-coastal because LA is that used to be so my goal. Far away.
And it catches on fire.
It catches on fire and it's kind of bad vibes.
Bad.
I'm not going to. I have friends in LA. Okay. I'm very careful to not.
You can shit on it.
Roast it. Because I know it's people's homes. And now, that's like, fair. They're struggling.
Right.
But every time I'm there, especially as, like, a comic, have you like, hung out with the comics? They're depressed. I know we're depressed, too. But we're, like, in community depressed. Like, in LA, for comedy, you either have to be literally a celebrity.
Or you hate your life.
Or you hate your life. And you're fighting and clawing for shitty spots.
I was just going to make that point. In New York, there's so many tiers.
Yeah. Or we're all together.
Yeah, we're all together.
We're all together.
And, like, you'll walk into a room and, like, someone who's a celebrity will say, hey, how are you? And you're like, wow, like, that's so nice. Yeah. Like, they know who I am.
I mean, Todd Barry keeps forgetting my name, but it's fine.
Details. But at least he knows your face.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know, actually. No. I used to, like, produce for him. And I'm like, hey, Todd. And he was like, what's, who are you? And I'm like, I think you might be an asshole. I'm not going to give him that much credit.
Oh, well, still, there's, like, I love the tears here. And I think it makes you feel, like, closer to your fame, you know?
Yeah. You're
like,
because you never want to be the funniest person in the room, you know? You don't want to be the most
successful. I'm just kidding. No.
I don't want to be the funniest person in the room.
Yeah.
Because you got to get better.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. You got to.
I'm not in this for my ego. I'm in this to.
No, the men are.
The men are. Just kidding. Well, why don't they move to, like, other places? Because it's hard here.
It's hard everywhere. But I think this is the greatest city for comedy.
So many more fries. Did you see that?
Oh, wow. It's like Mary Poppins. We thought there wasn't even full. It was so much.
It's Hanukkah fries.
Shout out to Lancey McDonald's. They actually hooked it up.
Thank you.
Wait, so when did you start comedy? You said you started that when you got here or before?
Before. I don't know how
you started
people
in Charleston?
Start here.
I did.
How?
I did the class at the Comedy Cellar.
Oh, yeah. That's how.
Which is such a cliche, like, beginner's guide.
Well, what else are you going to do?
Exactly. I mean, I didn't even know I wanted to do stand-up. I just wanted to give a good maid of honor speech at my friend's wedding. And so I took the class to, like, give it a speech.
I love that.
It was during the times of, like, the YouTube videos where it was the bridesmaids going up and, like.
Good for you.
Thank you. And I was like, I want to give such a good speech that I have, like, a viral video. That was my only goal. And then I did the class and I was like, oh, my God, this is everything I've ever loved.
Yeah.
Like, I have a good memory and I've always been, like, you know, the class clown. And I was like, oh, my God, my memory plus being funny. What a gift.
Memory.
It's big
what,
on.
What a skill for stand-up. I don't have that.
Really? It's my white knuckle it going on stage. I'm like, you're going to remember these. Like, you have a good memory.
I need you to teach me that. I always have a set list on the stool. That's and I just smart. Like, because it's like, if I overthink memorization, then,
yeah.
I get out of the zone. And so what I do when I do longer sets is I put a long set on the stool, have fun with the crowd. And then yeah. anytime I lose steam or like finish a thought, I'll like glance down and be yeah. like, oh, and then like the set list is kind of what guides the chaos like that happens around it. But it's hard because like most 90% of the time it works great. And it helps me not be such a perfectionist as a Virgo. But when I did cruise ships, they didn't like that.
Oh, really? You do it on the cruise ships?
Yeah, because okay. that's how I perform.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not doing vaudeville. I'm doing people connection.
Yeah.
You know? So I like to get out of my head and have fun and then come back to the set list. Yeah. And, like, nobody's ever complained on land. But in the ocean, I got so many comments where it was like, she had her notes on stage. And I'm like,
stop.
What did you use?
Where is
care?
There even a comment section for the comedian, or for the, yeah, comedy on the boat?
Everywhere.
Like cruise line, they like .feedback.com, and they like send it directly to you?
Literally. They get, because I had the guest app on some of the cruises, and it was so infuriating because you would like, it would know what shows you went to, and you'd get a pop up on your phone and mm-hmm. be like, how was comedian Lauren Hope Crass?
Stop.
And I was like, she was perfect. Book her again.
Stop. That is so funny.
The worst people to do stand-up for are customers. And yeah. cruise ship people are customers. And they're looking for, somebody like explained it.
That's so funny.
Where they were like, a cruise ship audience member doesn't go to a comedy show to enjoy themselves. They go to a comedy show to look for the proverbial,
yeah, yeah.
like, tooth in their soup so they mm-hmm. can complain and like, get something for
let's
free.
Let's see what you can do here,
yeah.
clown.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they'll like, well, and I had to get really used to just, I don't know why I'm going off on cruises.
We should no, I actually think it's a really fascinating topic that I wanted to bring up because one of our first times hanging out, I was approached to
do cruise ships. Oh my God, right. Yeah.
So I met up with you and we really got into it. And honestly, based on our conversation, yeah, I was like, I kind of peeled back on them. They asked me for a few more videos and I sent a few and they were like, yeah, we'll circle back. We're going to pitch this to Carnival. And they kind of just, they kept asking for avails even after that. And then I just kind of just didn't respond.
Yeah. The bookers want women.
Okay.
The audience isn't there yet. They're all boomers mm-hmm. who, especially if you are single and don't have kids and you're under 50,
mm-hmm.
like.
Not relatable?
I didn't know I was niche.
Yeah.
Until I did ships. Because I'm just like a cutie pie, fat white girl, whatever. Like a lot of people like me. Mm-hmm. I do colleges.
In New York, like, yeah, that's.
I'm like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not that controversial. But for like middle America, I guess.
What did they, like, what was the feedback that made you feel that way?
They just didn't understand like my whole deal. Mm-hmm. Like I think being a confident fat woman is very triggering for a lot of people. And I have a lot of empathy for that. Because what's happening behind the scenes for these people, and not all people, I'm not saying like this is whatever, mm-hmm. like some of them might have genuinely just been like, I don't find her funny, and that's yeah. totally fair.
Mm-hmm.
But some of the conversations I had with the women on deck, it's like, I think what's happening is they're like, well, I went through all this stuff in life to maintain a certain shape and do yeah. this, and this.
And she's showing me that I didn't have to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is a level of grief that like people don't even want to try to access and so they get mad.
Okay, yeah.
You know?
They go straight from the stages of grief to anger.
And to not anger. Yeah, and it's like, I actually, the thing that I miss, that I always forget to say when I talk about cruises, is 2/3 of the people loved me. Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like I reached all demographics. Like I had so much fun. But 1/3 is still a lot.
Yeah.
And that 1/3 hated me. You know? And
that's hard.
But it is hard, but it showed me, I'm like, oh, I really have a perspective here. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel like that's good. You know, it's yeah. like I have my fans and I have my haters.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not just like, you can't just send me anywhere and I'll be, because I have a point of view.
That's how you get famous. You know, you have your army that will die on a hill for you. And then the other people are like, I don't get it. And you're like, good. This isn't for everyone.
This isn't,
yeah. And that's why it's for these people that make me special.
Right. And I've had to learn that too, especially with like intuitive eating and stuff. Cause mm-hmm. it's like, for me, I'm like, oh, intuitive eating makes so much sense. I want to like make everyone understand it. And it's like, they're not going to.
Yeah.
And they don't have to. And like people, with the Good Bodies podcast with Betches, that was like a wellness, I'm just saying for
people
who don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. It's like a wellness, body positive, anti-diet show. And people would get very upset because they're like, well, I still want to lose weight. And it's like, that's totally fine. You're just not our audience.
Right.
You know, so I've really had to have this mindset shift where it's like, find your audience. These people aren't bad because they are doing these things, but they're not for you.
I still think, though, people that want to lose weight would still, like, they still enjoyed.
I have a lot of weight loss fans.
Yeah.
And they know they're welcome in my audience. Like,
well,
they know it's not my thing, but, like, from the fashion stuff, like, a lot of plus-size people are on weight loss journeys. Mm-hmm. And those are a lot of my followers, so.
Yeah.
It is what it is.
Which I'm sure they're just, it's probably a good touch base with you of, like, okay, I don't have to do this. It's a choice I'm making, but, like, I'm fine at any phase.
Yeah, like, I love it if I can be a little evangelical and, like, break through to some people so they can see, like, oh, I don't have to, like, spend every minute of my life trying to be smaller, you know? Like, I would love to help people break free, but I have to let that go because I'll get obsessive.
Totally.
And it's also impossible.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot save everybody.
No. What's funny, hearing your stance, I do, I follow just out of, like, genuine curiosity, you know, Liv Schmidt.
Oh, yes. Who is
she? Got banned from TikTok.
And
once she got banned,
I know who that is.
I was like, I have to follow this girl because she's so controversial that I find it so interesting to see what she gets away with on the internet.
She's just doing rage bait. I don't think she actually.
That's why I'm intrigued by her. Things? That's why I'm like, I think she's trolling everybody, and it's like kind of funny. Like, okay. I think she's like funny, which I know she's not trying to be funny.
Wait, but tell the listeners what she does.
So Liv Schmidt is a content creator on, I think, only Instagram now because TikTok banned her. Which was funny. When she got banned, she came back as not Liv Schmidt, which is kind of a baller move.
Yeah.
But it is a little problematic because she pushes.
She was teaching people how to have eating disorders, wasn't she?
Essentially, it was the consensus. Was like she was teaching people how to be skinny. But her point is that she wants you to be able to live your life while still going after your goals, whatever those goals are, which I guess, you know, her demographics.
Okay, well, that's my thing, too. She's just twisting.
But she's twisting it into being like, you should be as thin as possible. Mm-hmm. So it's just interesting to watch because she calls her, like, her whole fan base the skinny society. And
well, that's kind of fun. I get it.
It's kind of fun. I watch it. I'm like, this is funny. Yeah.
Like, I could be in the skinny society. I'm not skinny, but it's like.
You could.
There's a skinny girl inside. I'm kidding.
We all have our inner egos. But yeah, I just remember you and Emily talked about her briefly. And that's when I found her because you guys were talking about her. And I was like, I got to learn about this girl.
Man,
and I've been following
up.
Her ever since. No, you guys were, it was like a funny take on her.
Emily's so good at finding these things online. I'm like, what is in your algorithm?
Oh, yeah. I mean, everyone's algorithm. What is yours?
Mine's positive. Uh-huh. If I see the diet shit or the...
Yeah. You, like, block?
I don't block because I've learned that it likes getting reactions. Mm. It wants you to press any button.
True.
Even if it's not interested.
I hate how it calculates every move you make.
It wants you to do something. So what I do if I'm not interested, I swipe away very fast.
You look away. No, I just thought it was funny. I was like, no, I was like, that's, I was doing it with you.
And it's
like,
hard because you want to, like... You kind of want to hate watch it a little bit, but it doesn't care if it's a hate watch. You're watching.
I have this one video that comes up on my page all the time. It's like a pig falling off of a truck, and it makes my heart break. Yeah.
Is a pig okay?
I don't think so.
That's okay. I eat bacon.
I have to tell myself that, too. It's like, you can't really have a take on this story. But, yeah, I agree. Where it's like, you have to really look away as fast as possible. Otherwise, your algorithm is going to be like, oh, we know what you like. And then I started getting like.
You love dead pigs.
Literally, like a giraffe was getting eaten by a lion at one point. I'm like, this is breaking my heart. Yeah, but one click and that's your feed.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I hate it when because I watch a lot of cat videos and I hate it when they'll show like a sad cat. And 90% of the time, the cat has a transformation into being like rehomed and it gets its. But I watched one the other day and it was like, and then sadly we had to put this cat down. And I was like, what? Who is this for?
Yeah, why?
Why would you make this?
I have that question about a lot of videos.
It ruined my month.
I'm so sorry. Do you have a cat?
No, but I love cats.
Do you want to have a cat?
Yes.
Do you think about it?
Constantly.
Why don't you just get a cat?
My roommate's allergic, and we've been together 10 years. She's like my wife, and our landlord doesn't allow it.
Okay, that's fair.
But
10 years with a roommate, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Like
she says we're sisters, and I'm like, bitch, you're my wife. Like, we have our TV
domestic
shows.
Domestic partnership.
You tell me to do my dishes. Like,
I love that. I get worried living alone. This is going to be my... coming up my fourth year living alone, and I'm like, I get into these habits where I'm like, I'll be then with people and like certain things will bother me. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm becoming that, like that lonely woman. That's, you know, like, what? Why did you put that there?
You would be this, you'd be the same way with a roommate or a live-in
thank you.
Partner that's because so that's true. How I am.
Okay.
I'm like, stop chewing your ice.
Right. Okay.
And I, because I have someone chewing ice at home.
Yeah. 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 Okay. That's made you me know? Feel better. Cause sometimes I get very rigid in my ways and I'm like,
I'm a rigid bitch. Just okay. Anyway, I love owning it all the time.
I want to get that on a hat. I'm a rigid bitch. I love that. New merch dropping.
Yeah.
What's funny, I had Chloe LaBranche on, if you know her, she's a comedian. She's very funny. And she was like, you should have every episode where you drop a quote and you put it on your merch. So this one will be.
Oh, I like that.
Rigid bitch.
Rigid bitch.
I love that. I want to put it on a hat right
Chew
now.
With your mouth closed.
Yeah. I did ask you because Lauren was asking me, do I need to prep? And I was like, no, it's just very conversational. But I do ask, I like to keep the theme of the stupid podcast. Yeah. And so I wanted to ask you if there was a time where you did something really stupid, but it ended up being really great. And I don't know if you thought on that, but I also love an off the cuff answer because I think what comes to mind first is always like the best.
Off the cuff.
Mike's sorry, trying to eat making you. Out with my mic.
Off the cuff is something we already talked about, which was moving to New York City with no money and no job.
That's like the way to do it, that, though. Like, yeah. You're like, I'm Chrissy.
But it actually, like, I have no net. Like, my dad is missing and my mom's a secretary. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have resources.
Yeah.
But I just, like, did it and I'm like, that was actually really stupid. Like, 36-year-old Lauren would never move to a brand new city without a job and $800 to her name. Wow. You know, like, that's what I did.
And how did you meet your, did you move in with your roommate then, or?
No, I found her 1 year later.
Okay. Who were you with before?
Strangers from Craigslist.
Wow. That is really doing in New York. New York with roommates is, like, now that I live alone, I'm like, it's just such a different lifestyle because you really have to mesh with these people. So it's like, until you find your person or your people, like, you're just figuring it out.
Yeah. I got very lucky because as soon as I got here, I found QED in Astoria, which is a comedy venue that kind of took me in. And then I met my wife. Mm-hmm. This is my first year.
How'd you meet?
And she was in one of the lady comic groups. She doesn't do stand-up, but she does, like, storytelling and acting and stuff. And she posted, like, I think at the time, the room was only, like, $600. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, oh, I want that instead. Because the Craigslist place, I didn't love.
Yeah.
Because we had to keep the garbage inside until garbage day, so it just always smelled like garbage.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What that's a flashback. Tough. I totally forgot about that. That's now I'm tough. Like, oh, I lived in garbage.
Garbage. That's tough.
Classic New York City.
You're like, it's outside everywhere and it's in my home.
I was like, why can't we take it outside? They're like, they think it looks ugly with trash cans outside. New York landlords are crazy.
That's wild because there's so much trash on the street all the time.
Yeah. And then our second place, we had to like, our landlord had us convinced we had to like tape up all our boxes and do all this. And then now our current landlord, who's the best, which I mean, all landlords are criminals. But this criminals. One's like a really good one where he just like rewraps the trash however he wants. So I just like throw shit down there. And he likes to put it together.
You give him something to do.
Give us something to do.
Give a man a job.
He's going to mix it up anyway.
Totally.
But I realized this. So I did prepare and I thought of something really stupid that I did one time and it did work out well. So I used to work in HR at a hotel, a Five Diamond hotel. Ooh. There's only five in New York. State.
No way.
Actually, yeah. So I worked at one of those.
Which one? Can we drop it or no?
Probably after? Not. Probably okay. Not.
Beep. Okay.
But it's one of the big ones.
Excited to hear this.
And so I worked in HR for like a couple years, but I was part time because I've always, fun fact, that's how I've like managed to like be semi successful in comedy is I've never really had a full time day job. I've always had lots of little part time freelance so I can like
pour into comedy.
Schedule myself, pour into comedy. Also, like, I'm not a morning person. I can't get up 5 days in a row, 8 a.m. Yeah. Like, I'll just die.
Totally.
And I've always known that about myself. So anyways, this was only 3 days a week. But they needed a full-time person. I was going in, constantly for overtime. And it was time for benefits enrollment. And as a part-time employee, I was not eligible. Mm-hmm. This might only be interesting to New Yorkers because everybody else is just like, health insurance. We all have it. And I looked at my hours and I had just enough hours to actually qualify for health insurance, even though they weren't planning on giving it to me because I was part-time. So I asked my manager, I was like, hey, can I have health insurance? Like I've worked the amount of hours like that the system says. And they're like, I don't know, you're part-time. Like, we got to look into it. And I kept following up. I kept asking. I even went to like the general manager and I was like, can I have health insurance? Like it says, like I hit all these requirements. I'm like running the office. And they were like, we'll get back to you. It was like the deadline. Nobody got back to me. I enrolled myself in health insurance because I'm HR.
Yeah.
So I just gave myself really fancy health insurance. Uh-huh. 1 month later, I was fired.
That's hilarious.
But they didn't say why. And now in retrospect, I'm like, I think it's because I gave myself health insurance.
That is so funny. Because that's how they pay. Like, you basically gave yourself a higher salary, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you paid yourself.
Well, no, I didn't change my hourly rate, but I, like, added the benefit.
Right.
Of having.
So someone was paying for that.
They didn't want to pay for it. My manager didn't even know. I walked into work one day, and my manager was like. That's ballsy. My manager was like, can you come in here? I got to run this report, and you always do it, and, like I have to do it today. And I was like, yeah, I'll teach you how to run that report, but I gotta go see the director real fast. And he was like, why? And I was like, I don't know. Came out of the director's office and I'm like, I was let go. And he was like, who's gonna run the report? And I'm like, I don't know, but not me. And because this was like such a high-end hotel, like security had to walk me out. Nobody ever told me why, because they didn't want me to like take any files with me. It's like,
wow.
Yeah, like,
how long did you work there for?
Like 2 years.
Damn. That's so crazy.
Yeah, I was their like event planner for the employees. Holy shit. I was their little darling, and then and they never told me why. They said it was position elimination, which got me unemployment, which was great. But they were like, "You're great. There's no reason." And now I'm like, "Is it because I gave myself health insurance?"
That's so funny.
But it ended up great because I immediately moved to LA for 3 months just because I had met some casting people and they were like, it's too bad you're not in LA. And I was like, I'm going to be in LA.
Yeah. Like, I'm there.
And then I just went and cat sat in LA for 3 months and like did auditions and like started to, you know, tap into the star energy that I have now.
That's part of the rocket ship experience where you're going to get to.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But I would have never left that job if they didn't fire me.
Okay.
And it was like a job. Like I was taking care of housekeepers and trash guys and like making sure everybody had the benefits that they needed.
So
like,
you live a different life.
I would probably be a good comedian, but I'd probably be so invested in these people at this hotel.
Yeah. And you probably wouldn't have gone on the cruise ships, right?
Probably not.
Yeah, which was such an experience.
Yeah, it made me better. So it's good that I stole health insurance.
Yeah, I love that. I love when like one of those like fails become a strength. Like anytime you're like, oh, this is so bad right now. And you're like, no, it's going to be good.
Every time I get fired, it's great. That's why if I have a friend, they're like, I got fired. I'm like, congratulations.
You know, I say that too. I've been fired.
You're going up.
Yeah, I got fired from my first job in New York. They said you've got 30 days to find a new job, essentially. And I'm like, do you want me to keep showing up here? And they're like, yes. And I was like, I'm not doing like, that.
I've got to go.
Yeah, I was like, what the fuck is that? So but what's crazy is that I was already interviewing for my current job that I have now.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Thank you. So I just seamlessly was like, okay, see you later. And then I got this job, which
getting funny. Fired is really good.
Oh, I remember like, I like took a selfie in the mirror at work, like going like this after, and like went to, my mom was in town. She's a commercial producer, and they had an edit in New York just randomly at the time. So her and I went out and got like drunk and like partied. We're like, woo, so see you later, suckers. Yeah. So I agree. Like anytime,
people who don't get fired, hot take, aren't very interesting people.
No.
You're just doing
have an edge.
You're just doing the bare minimum. You're getting by. And that's what companies want. They want like
sheep.
They want sheep.
Yeah.
They don't want stars. Sheep.
They don't want stars.
Companies don't want stars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I was a star at that company giving myself health insurance.
Yeah. You're too smart. You outsmarted them.
They were like, we can't tell her this is why we're firing her.
Yes.
Because she hit all these things.
You're like the mouse that got the cheese. I figured out the maze.
I figured out the maze, and they were like, you have to go.
She's dead.
I do this a lot, actually.
Yeah?
Anyways.
What's another time? I don't know. Just like other times you were like, I cheated the system a lot?
Well, no. Like, I figure out the way things should be.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, I'm not there anymore.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Just think about any recent company I was with. So.
And then it's their loss. And it's my loss. I loved that podcast.
I'm so sorry. You were like so sad.
I was bummed.
We were sad too.
That's my go-to podcast.
Yeah.
Now it's like Call Her Daddy just starts playing and I'm like, fine. I guess.
Yeah, what should I listen to now that I guess I wasn't listening to myself, but I still need podcasts.
I love Jay Shetty and Diary of a CEO. Those are my go-tos.
Oh, okay.
No, but those are great podcasts. They're very like self-helpy. Mel Robbins, I'm into the self-help shit.
I like self-help.
Love.
I clicked on
self-help. I hate how much I love it.
I love it.
I love it.
I love self-improvement.
The whole let them
it's
thing.
Working.
I'm like, walk all over me.
Yeah. No, well, what? I didn't listen to that.
No, the let them theory with Mel Robbins, it's like, it's just
I
like.
I clicked on that the other day. No way. I didn't listen to it because there was a man on it.
Well, the whole theory is just like anytime like someone does something that you don't like, you just say let them and then you move on. It's, yeah. Like a, it's a forgiveness tactic.
I do that.
Yeah. It's great. I've been using
you have,
it.
You have the impetus to like prove to someone you're good. And mm-hmm. It's like, no.
No.
I don't have time to prove right? myself anymore.
Exactly.
Like, I know I'm good. If you don't think I'm good, it's like, and it's so tempting because it's like, oh, I could convince this person. But I'm not.
Why?
I'm not.
No, why? Yeah, no, I agree. I just recently got ghosted and I was like,
I need my energy for other things.
Let them ghost me.
Let
See
them.
You later, loser. I've been ghosted a lot lately,
it's
actually.
It's okay, girl.
Thanks.
They're not worth it.
Well, that's what I'm
They're
like,
literally not worth it.
It's happened so many times now where I'm like impervious to it. I'm like, fine. Yeah, I'm like, do it again.
Sorry.
There you go. So it's, yeah, it's been a good experience for me. I'm like, you know what? Then it just. Whatever no you get leads you to a yes is what I always say.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and I do really believe that. I'm saying it like kind of sarcastically, but I really mean that.
I'm in a successful era at the moment, but it has come after quite a bit of rejection.
Totally.
Over and over and over again for years.
Yeah.
And you just kind of get used to it.
Numb.
And it
in a good way.
I wouldn't even, I know you're being funny, but I wouldn't even say numb. You
okay.
Just, you, it's like a muscle. You
yeah, develop. You're right. That's a good point.
Where like, at the first time it happens, you're like, this fucking sucks. Like, this hurts my feelings. And it never stops hurting your feelings.
Yeah.
But you bounce back faster and faster each time.
That's so true.
You know?
Yeah, you become like a trampoline. You're like, all right, do it again.
And it's, you have to have that muscle.
That's a good point. Thank you for correcting the numbness because I agree. That's not numbness. It is just like, okay, feel, move on.
Exactly. I'm a big feeler.
And also with comedy, it's like we've all bombed.
Yeah.
And
I
it
mean,
makes
I've,
you.
I'm not bombed.
Sorry.
I definitely bomb all the time.
I'm kidding. But it really, you're like, if I can survive that, I can survive anything.
Yes. That is how I feel after. Honestly, I hate to give such a shitty experience so much credit.
Yeah.
But like. Bombing my ass off on these cruise ships or even having like mid shows where like I should have bombed, but I like got through.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, I can do anything. Yeah. Like I'm passed on New York Comedy Club checks now.
Uh-huh. Congrats.
And thank you.
It's awesome.
It is awesome.
It's awesome.
And everybody's like, aren't you nervous? Is it so? And I'm like, no, it's a New York City crowd that wants to see stand up.
And wants to laugh.
And I would have been so nervous to try to like work my way up at this like very good club. Had I not done the hardest shows of my life.
On a floating toilet.
On a floating toilet right before.
Yeah.
You know? So now I'm just like, and that's another thing. It's like, out of all the people I do want to prove something to, I absolutely want to prove myself to New York Comedy Club. Like, those are great clubs. I want to go up there.
Mm-hmm.
But you also have to have the mentality of like, you have to let it go.
Let it go.
So it's like, I just show up. I just, you can prove yourself to like a level, but. Once you start, like, abandoning yourself, that's when it's like, nobody's worth that.
No. And also, people will smell it in the water if you're proving yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tour with Troy Bond. He's another comedian.
Yeah.
And he always said, he's like, it's like a guy. If he tries to go on a date to get fucked, he's not going to get fucked. So you got to just kind of roll in, like, if you want to have sex with me, take it or leave it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So that always stuck with me because he's like, if you're trying to get fucked, you're not going
It's hard because that is true, but it's like, how do you switch?
Yeah.
Because people ask me, they're like, well, how do you get there? And I'm like, I don't know. I'm old. Like, it happened
reps.
Eventually.
Yeah.
Reps, yeah.
The only time that I get caught up is when it's like a physical feeling that my brain is like, no, no, we're okay. But my body is like sweaty palms and your stomach. And you're like, I'm going to take a shit right now.
Yeah,
and you're
like,
no, you're not. You're going to be fine. But you're like, your body is just like going into flight mode. And you're like, no, we've done this before. Why are you doing this?
Do you get really gassy before shows?
No, but there have been many times like right before my spot that I'm like, oh, if I don't go to the bathroom, like I'm going to have to. Poop on stage.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, and sometimes I get one out and I feel like $1 million. I get on stage and I'm like, I weigh 2 pounds and I'm like, let's go.
I'm so happy for you.
Or if I don't do it, then it just goes away. Then I got off stage and I'm like, damn, I could have used that.
Once I'm on
I would have loved so to clear funny. Myself out.
Just like tell yourself you have a show.
Right?
You need to shit.
Like, we're going to have to get like, a show in front of all your crushes.
You're just in your room like, thank you, five.
I'm gonna light them. Oh no!
It's time to shit. Just wave like a cell phone flashlight in your face.
I should get one of those lights, just like a red light. Start flashing it. That's funny. Yeah.
Yeah, I get my body also. Do you ever just like talk to your body and be like, you're safe?
I have like give myself a little pat.
Yeah.
Like a good job pat.
Do you like tapping?
Which is, no, I have heard the tapping. I don't do that. But I also hear like people, I have a friend that just told me she does this, her therapist told her to do it. And I saw it on a podcast where they say, talk to yourself out loud. Like, let's say if you're like getting into some negative talk, you go, stop it. Like you're some like psycho on the street.
Oh,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Like you're a homeless man, like talking to yourself. You go, stop it.
I do that. It's so funny. I don't say stop it, but I'll be like,
I need to try it.
I'll say like, I am safe. I'll be like,
are you alone?
I am confident. No, I don't.
I am normal.
Listen, I have friends. I'm
so many.
I am popular. No, I do it before shows, and I feel like comics are so weird. Like, nobody cares.
Oh, God, no.
You know, but if I'm on the street, maybe I'll be like a little bit in my head, like, you're safe. You're protected or whatever. But like before shows, I'm like, you belong here.
Yeah.
You are funny.
Out loud?
You know what you're doing. Yeah.
I love that. I say everything's fine in my head. But my favorite saying in life is nothing matters. No one knows what they're doing and we're all going to die. And that's that like chills me every time.
Very nihilist.
Very. But it's not wrong.
It's not wrong. Yeah.
And anytime I think about
it. You can't take this with you.
No. And like when I'm about to get on stage, I'm like, we're all going to be dead in like 50 years. I'm like, then no one, it doesn't matter.
It is the trick though.
It makes me have so much fun.
Comics don't know how to do this though. We care so much.
Oh, see, once I tap into the whole dying thing, I'm like, let's burn it down.
Yeah. Yeah.
Have fun.
It's dark, but it's also optimistic because it's like.
Right.
If you realize it doesn't matter, then you can just do it.
So much fun. Yeah. Well, it's like that meme where it's like a little cartoon character and it's like one picture. He's like sad and it's like nobody cares, and then it's like he's really happy and it's like nobody cares. I'm like, I'm fully the nobody cares.
Yeah because they don't
nobody cares about anything
except for when I was on Good Bodies and Reddit existed. Then everybody cared. It was honestly like people,
it's so funny.
People do, like, I do have haters as someone who's like, nobody's thinking about me, and it's like, no, they do
and they write about it online.
They write about it online and they write in like on cruise ships. It was like, you're like, nobody's going to notice I looked at my set list. And it's like, meanwhile, Deborah from Minnesota was like, she looked at her set list too much. And I'm like, bitch, are you the demon?
Get a life, Deborah.
Like, on my shoulder?
That's the problem. Come These people life. Don't have lives.
They don't.
And they're jealous that
and
you do.
And they're so mad.
No, they're mad.
They're so mad. And I just want to be your friend. I'm not a hater.
We want to love you. Yeah, I get a lot of hate on Troy's YouTube. They're like, she knows nothing. She's so stupid. Because he'll talk about Star Wars for 10 minutes and I'll just stare at him like this. And they're like, this girl's a box of rocks.
Yeah, because if you don't know about Star Wars, then you're stupid.
Yeah.
That's how that works.
I'm a big idiot.
I do love Star Wars.
Really?
I like the new
ones. I only watched it once.
Well, Star Wars fans don't like me because I like the new ones and they don't like the new ones. I love the
new ones. What a niche. You're so niche.
I'm so special. So niche. I'm not like the other girls.
You're not. We do need to wrap this up. We're at an hour. Any closing thoughts?
Love yourself. No, but for real, love
Get
yourself.
Get McDonald's and love yourself.
Get McDonald's. Enjoy your food. Life isn't about shrinking yourself to please other people, no matter what that means to you, body, personality. Oh, listen to Belly Laughs on Patreon. It's only $2 a month. Tori's a member.
A member. It's She's less than one coffee.
Exactly. And it's really fun.
It's fun. I love,
And you can hang in the comments. It's a good time. So
only nice things.
Only nice things. Oh, and Instagram, Lauren Hope Crass.
Yeah. Amazing. Well, thanks for listening, guys. And thanks for being on. It's so much fun.
Thanks for having me, Tori.
You're the best.
You're the best.
You're the best.
This was fun.